I will read just one text from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, verse 10. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, verse 10. I'm reading from the New King James Bible, Luke 17, 10. So likewise, you, when you have done all those things which you commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done only what was our duty to do. Well, in recent times, I've been thinking a lot about religion in general. And when I say religion, I mean all religions. And in trying to understand what really it is. In some way, in practical terms, I came to realize that religion really is a way to deal with human sufferings. That is how I would define it anyway. Religion is a way to deal with human sufferings. And if you look at the different religions, they choose different ways to deal with it. Some religions are quite harsh and strict, and they put harsh things in place so that suffering doesn't take place in the first place. It's very strict laws in some Muslim countries. If you look at the Eastern religions, talk about sufferings a lot. They would say desire is the source of all suffering, so they try to just deny all the desires and withdraw from this life in some way and just try to escape from it, from the bodily experience. And that's how they would deal with sufferings. It's a long journey, but that's how to start. Christianity, again, we try to deal with sufferings. But how successful are we really in dealing with sufferings? When was the last time that you prayed for somebody and they raised up and they're healed? Anything like that that you've witnessed recently, yourself, personally? It happens, but it's not really 24/7, is it? Well, we live in interesting times, and there's another religion that's really prevalent religion nowadays, at least around here. You can call it materialism or scientific materialism. And it's also religion because it deals with human sufferings, and it deals with it very successfully, not perfectly, obviously, like any other religion, but I think it's probably more successful than any other religion. Through material things, we deal with sufferings, like tablets and things like that. And it's probably more successful in terms of body healing than any other religion. But it is very limited because scientific materialism does not recognize the presence of the supernatural or the spiritual. So the body is all there is, so they'll deal with it very well. Well, it's very limited too. But scientific materialism cannot deal with the sufferings of the soul or the spirit. It's just, it doesn't exist, so don't bother with that. The bottom line is, whichever religion we belong to, we don't do a very good job of dealing with human sufferings. It's around us, it's in us, we don't know what to do with it. None of us. Well, if you look at what Jesus did, his life is very, very different, because in his life he did not really try to himself evade sufferings. He did relieve the sufferings of many people, heal many people, but for him this was not the main issue. Some he healed, but they did not really come to him to follow him, like the 9 out of 10 lepers. So he healed them, but they've gone and they've died, and that's the end of the story. So for him, our sin as our condition was really the problem that he was dealing with. And he came to deal with it. The scripture reading that we read, Luke 17:10. So likewise, you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done only what was our duty to do. Well, in spiritual terms, when you do things and perform, it's different to just materialistic or human terms. Because if you do really well at your workplace, lots of places will offer a company bonus or something like that. Because you've done really well, you would not say that I've been an unprofitable servant. You say, I've done really, really well and I want a little extra, I want a bonus. Yeah? That's about us as humans. Well, in spiritual realm, it's not like that at all, because what is it that we really do in spiritual terms, you and I? When Jesus sent the 70 disciples out, and he gave them the power and authority over the diseases and the demons, and they came rejoicing and told him all the things they've done. What did Jesus tell them? He told them, do not rejoice because of what you have done. The matter of the fact is, you read it between the lines, you haven't done it, it's the Holy Spirit. You don't have the power over demons, they would crush you if I wasn't here. Or diseases, it's the Holy Spirit who's done this. Do not rejoice because of what you have done, but because of what God has done. In other words, because your names have been written in heaven. So he says, they said, look what we have done. He says, don't worry about it. Just be grateful for what God has done. Your names are written in the book of heaven. You think about prayer, and a lot of places, lots of people, a lot of churches, we talk about revival in the Adventist church a lot in recent times. It's somewhat based on the Pentecost experience, and we even have 10 days of prayer, which is really sort of following the pattern of the Pentecost, praying for 10 days. Well, if you really read about Pentecost and how it all took place, it didn't really take place because of the 10 days of prayer. It was not earned through a human effort. It's something the disciples decided, let's just produce a revival, and that's how it works. It was really a fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy. The Pentecost. And it was going to happen because God has planned that it would happen at a very specific time when he wanted it to take place. And it's also described in our gift. It's go to Jerusalem and sit down and the gift, the Father will give you a gift. So you cannot really say that it's something that was a product of human action, even prayer, because if it's a gift, it's not really deserved through anything we have done. So we can just decide to have a Pentecost or a revival. You can try it. I've tried it a couple of occasions in very hard, very serious, heavy-duty manners, and it doesn't happen because it happens when God wants it to happen, not when I want it to happen. Paul says, what have you got that you have not received from the Lord? And if you have received it from the Lord, why boast? He recognizes that every gift he has, everything he does, has come from God. It's not him who is doing it, it's God. So going back to the idea of religion and how you and I as human beings deal with our human condition, which we mainly experience in terms of sufferings, and we don't like it, we want to get rid of that. Ultimately, in the very beginning, Adam and Eve, they try to fix the problem. Well, the problem of sin, clumsily, unsuccessfully, with man-made garments, just cover it up, just cover it. And this is really the beginning of the humanistic, man-made religion. We can talk about Tower of Babel, the beginning of it all. It's really, with Adam and Eve, it started a humanistic religion where we try to do something to fix the problem of sin that we are clueless about. We don't know how to deal with it. We don't know what it is. We don't know how to fix it. So, to fix what? We don't know what it is. So how can you fix it? So this man-made religion that Adam and Eve started was not there really to deal with the problem, the real issue, the problem of sin, but with the consequences of sin, which is suffering. Suffering is the consequence of sin, it's not the problem. It keeps coming up as long as sin is around. Like the bad fruit keep coming as long as the root is there. So like any other religion, all the way from Adam and Eve, we try to invent something to do, something as humans, religious, to deal with sufferings. So we try to deal with the problem by eliminating its consequences or symptoms, and I suppose even scientific materialism is very good. You get all these kind of tablets that will help you just with symptoms, but will not really remove the problem, the real problem. So in this way, scientific materialism is really a true religion. It's trying to do the same thing. It helps a little bit, but it's very limited. And perhaps historically, materialism or scientific materialism is the most successful religion because it helps with alleviating the suffering more than any other religion, as far as I can see. But when you look at Jesus and see how God deals with the problem, God deals with this the problem in the opposite way. He does not himself, personally, you're talking about Jesus, not about what he's done for other people, he himself, he did not alleviate the sufferings, he accepted the sufferings upon himself. He just accepted it as the reality and the condition, which took it on himself. And somehow, by taking the sufferings upon himself and accepting them, he's managed to eliminate the root of the problem, which is sin. We don't really know how it all works. We don't know what sin is. Therefore, we don't know what Jesus did on the cross to deal with it. But by taking the sufferings upon himself, he has dealt with the problem of sin. So that's what God does. Goes straight to the root of the problem. Himself, he himself became a man. But as for us, we're mere humans, not man and God mingled together with Jesus. As for you and me, we can only stick with the religion in the best way we can. This is our temporary state. The bottom line is God never wanted any religion, because when you read the creation account, there is no religion, there is no church, there is no prayer. Why do you need to pray when God is... I can speak to, like, I can speak to Steve. We just speak directly, we don't need to pray. There is no... It was never intended. It's just a temporary condition for us to make it something for this world, just to make it something through his life, to help each other a little bit and alleviate the problem until it is resolved. But only God can do that, because all we can do is deal with the symptoms. But God, through Jesus Christ, is the only one who can actually deal with the real problem of the human condition. And his promise is that ultimately he will resolve everything when he comes back for the second time.